Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
Hello and welcome. I am Kate Boone, and joining me today is Bongani Tim Kumbu. He's a strength and conditioning manager for SA Rugby. He has previously worked as a strength and conditioning coach for Junior Springboks, for Springbok Women, for Blitzbok Women, you name them. And he's lectured at the Northwest University Booker Campus in the Human Movement Science Department. This gentleman has been in his field, or in the rugby field rather, according to his CV, since 2009. And we'll get into that now with this conversation. So let me welcome Bongani. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks. And how are you doing, Kate?
I'm good, thank you. We just spoke before we started and I asked you if you were at the Rugby World Cup, and you confirmed you were. Just let me know before we start the interview how that experience was for you.
Kate, it was an absolutely amazing experience. I know it was incredible for everybody watching, and having been a big rugby supporter myself, having watched a couple of World Cups, being there in flesh and being able to contribute towards the team and how we do things was absolutely amazing. So it's still surreal. I like to joke and say, if anyone were to wake me up now, I wouldn't be responsible for my actions if this was all a dream.
Very funny. Thank you, Bongani. So before we unpack your job, and with over the 10 years experience you have, you might need a bit more time to think about this, but tell me about the best day in your career. When was it and what happened? And you're not allowed to say the Rugby World Cup.
That was top of the list, but okay. Career-wise, can I do two? Is that okay?
No problem.
Okay. So the day I was appointed the strength and conditioning coach for the Free State Cheetahs under 19, which was the 1st of April in 2009, I think that was one of the best days of my life because it was unknown territory. It was such a big role and responsibility to take on at the time. I was only 20, I think I was turning 22 that year. So I had recently played for the Cheetahs under 19 myself. And to be given the honor of being responsible for that team in that year was a big honor for me. So that is definitely up there as one of the best days of my career. I think the second one would be the day I was appointed as a strength and conditioning coach for the Springbok Women, which was also coincidentally in April. It was a massive, massive, massive step for me being selected. And it was at a time where the women's game had been quiet for a while post the World Cup of 2014. So it was almost re-emerging, and I was part of that collective that was responsible for trying and making sure that we can get it up to heights that it deserve. So yeah, massive privilege. So those 2 days stick out massively in my career as some of the two best days of my career.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, Bongani. It seems in the history of your career, April has just been your month. That's really amazing to hear. So tell me a bit about your journey from being young and being a student. So just to let our listeners know, you started at CUT with a diploma and a BTEC in sport management. And then you came to the UFS for a BA and an honors in human movement science. So thinking back to that journey and then becoming the professional that you are in the sports industry, would you say it was a straight or a winding road for you?
Kate, I think it was absolutely a winding road for me. It wasn't straightforward. So as you rightfully mentioned, I started at CUT as a player student, and then sort of got into the semi-professional setup at the Free State Cheetahs, which I was fortunate to be able to be part of. And then the career almost took more time than the rugby itself. So the studies started taking up more time. I got a very big injury when I was 20. And then I was fortunate enough to be roped in to the Free State Sports Science Institute, which is right across the road from CUT. from there, I was exposed to high performance for the first time. I was exposed to different sporting codes, responsible for training programs and working out their seasons. And I thought when I became permanent there, it became, that is it. This is where I will be. I will be in a high performance center as I'd wished. But I ultimately, there was this yearning and this desire within me that kept the dream of being part of a national setup, and particularly the Springboks. It just kept on burning within myself.
All right. So you brushed over experiencing an injury. I don't know if you're comfortable to share what happened and how did you actually overcome it?
Yeah, I can definitely divulge about my injury. It was such a long time ago, but also part of the journey. I got injured as a 19-year-old in one of our warm-up games for the Cheetahs under 19s. We were playing at home and I tore off my ACL. I also did my meniscus, all of which is in the right knee. And post-operating, it was a difficult time because we are all trying to represent the province and fight for a spot in maybe a national setup as a junior player, as well as maybe a future senior contract. Because once you hit under 21, you generally get a contract with the franchise or the union. So yeah, that almost dashed those dreams completely. I couldn't explain it to many people, but I think those that were close to me understood that this had been a dream since I was 9 years old, as most South African rugby players have the ambition and the desire to represent the country at some stage. So 3 years down the line, I made a big call of leaving my work because the only way I could be involved with a national team would require me to get my BA in sports science. So I made a big call. I had to resign from my work, which many people didn't quite understand. I came back to study and I took a bold step to try and get into the UFS. I started July of 2012. And through a lot of hardship, through trying to take on 12 modules in the one semester, I had to write a lot of emails and a lot of letters to explain my situation that, listen, I need to get back to work. I love the student life, but I would by all means try not to stay here too long, which opened my eyes to how far I could stretch myself. Because just something that a lot of people and I sometimes forget, in my first degree, I literally had probably two distinctions throughout that 4 years. And within a space of a year at UFS and taking on 12 modules in my, say, February to June, second semester at the varsity, I took 12 modules. I managed to get about 10 distinctions in that time, which I sometimes put it down to, it was literally how badly I wanted to become a professional, and how badly I wanted to be able to prove to myself that I can become a national strength and conditioning coach. I can make it to the highest of heights in my profession. And it would take me sacrificing and doing as much as I can for my part.
Okay, Bongani, so tell me, what is a strength and conditioning coach? Because I don't think I know that.
A strength and conditioning coach is a person that is responsible for the overall conditioning of a team. So how fit the players are, you are responsible for making sure that each of them are fit enough to be able to execute in whatever sporting code that you are dealing with. You are responsible for making them strong enough to also be able to handle whatever the sport may be, understanding the sport so that you can ensure that each athlete is ready to live out their talents and be able to take care of themselves on a court, a field, in whatever sporting code that you do. So for layman's terms also, it is perhaps an easier one is being a fitness instructor, but in this context, for a team or for an individual at a professional level. That's why I say my route was really, it was a winding one to get where I am. Left for Poch, post my honors degree, and then got to Potchefstroom, lectured there, fantastic journey as well, met some great people. And I even then, the dream of being a national conditioning coach wasn't as alive because now here you are, you're an academic. Yes, you are doing some conditioning for the first team at Buck and helping out with the under 19 Curry Cup side, but it wasn't the focal point at the time anymore. It was more settling down. I'd just gotten married, have a family, settle in Poch. It's very close to my hometown of Parres, so I was quite comfortable and I was earning decent amount of money. So yeah. And I'd recently, obviously, if you take in consideration how quickly I had done my degree, I was semi an academic, I would say. So I was enjoying the academics as well. And then I get this call from SA Rugby to say, send me your CV. At the time, I didn't know the gentleman was part of SA Rugby. He just said, send me your CV. I love your work. I love the research that you are doing. And I remember sending the CV almost under duress. I was on the road. It was on my phone. I sent it through. Nothing said to me, listen, find out who this person is. It's only after consulting my wife that I had to Google and actually look up the individual who had asked me for my CV. It turned out to be the head of medical here at SA Rugby, who's now become my colleague, Clint Redhead. And he was impressed with what I'd done and my CV. And eventually, after a lot of deliberation, he could offer me something at SA Rugby. And the research I was busy with at the time was on rugby injuries, men versus women, what that looked like and what were the differences between the types of injuries and the frequency of those injuries as well.
Okay. So come on, Bongani, please tell us who gets injured more, men or women?
Just purely because of the frequency of games, the men have a significantly higher number of matches that they play. So the men at this stage are the ones that get more injured than the female athletes. But I believe as time goes on, those numbers will start equaling each other out. And as all us as professionals in the field are really trying to reduce that number that exists already. So we work very hard with physiotherapists, with biokineticists, with our medical teams, to really, really reduce the number of injuries that are occurring, even at this stage as we speak. But purely because of the frequency of games, I know the men are currently the ones that get more injured than the female rugby players.
I think I even also wanted to bring it up somewhere in the conversation that when I also looked at your CV, I picked up that you actually published, I don't know if it's two articles or if there's been more since then, but you actually were in academia. So you really had a good chance of staying and deciding to just, go that route. But you still went and, chased that burning desire you had.
Absolutely. That's publishing for me was delving into uncharted territory again, challenging myself once again. And you are 100% correct. I managed to publish two publications, of which I was the lead researcher. And then I was co-author on three other ones in my time, the 2.5 years in Poch alone. So, yeah, I was really an academic at that stage, but yet again, I knew I loved being out on a rugby field. There is nothing more exhilarating for me and then building up towards the work that you put in with your team, trying to get them fit, working out strategies with a coach, and then getting to a weekend. A lot of the time, not getting the result, but it's almost the going back and refining what you guys have done was an absolute passion of mine, and I couldn't get away from it no matter how hard I tried.
Great, of course. Now let's travel through time and reflect a bit. And let's just say that you really didn't pursue sports management, or you didn't even go into, the human science movement degree rather, and you really weren't able to do anything in sports. Would you, or can you imagine yourself doing anything else, and what would it be?
Kate, that's a tricky one. If I did not do human movement science and be a sports scientist, I think I would have got into business. Yeah, my family is quite business inclined, especially my father. So I believe I would have gone down that route to see how much I can grow my business. I can't tell you what business it would be right now. Probably something in sports, selling merchandise or being a sports agent, maybe, but it probably would have been along the lines of, being somewhere in the sports realm, but owning my own business and my own company and trying to uplift and assist anybody else as much as I could.
Okay, great. Now back to real life. What would you say really makes you good at your job?
I think I care, Kate. I recently went through figuring myself out and trying to do some retrospection and introspection. And I found that I genuinely care about people that I work with, colleagues, as well as the athletes that I work with. And I think that that might be one of the attributes that I've got that sets me apart from maybe other strength and conditioning coaches. I try and preach it as much as possible to them, but I genuinely have seen that over my career, I care a lot about the people that I work with.
Amazing. And if someone was listening now, and we can say any of our, you know, young aspiring rugby students here at the UFS, I actually got the pleasure 2 weeks ago to just have an induction session with one of the youngest, you know, first time entering first years who actually are sponsored by the rugby office or the rugby department here at UFS. And you could just see, you know, the joy and the aspiration in their eyes and their hunger to really get to where Siya Kolisi have gotten, where you have gotten, where many of the greats in rugby have gotten. And so if any of them were listening now, or anyone else really who would like to pursue a career either in sports or in strength and conditioning and in rugby in general, what would you say is the best way for them to prepare themselves?
I would say they obviously need to take their academics very serious because it just helps the balance of being a student athlete. Sort of grounds you and disciplines you in many ways. And take instructions from, if you're on a rugby field and you're dealing with coaches and managers, take their instructions to heart because a lot of people, when we're young, we're enthusiastic and we think we know quite a bit because our talent has gotten us to certain places in our lives. But I promise you, especially the program at UFS has such great professionals around you. Gentlemen that, and ladies that have done it for years that know what they're talking about. So take their advice to heart and really apply it. And then the second part would be make yourself available. If maybe the actual playing of the sport is whatever sport it is, perhaps it's not the route for you and you're going to become a hopefully a professional such as myself, but you're passionate about sport, I would say keep showing up, make yourself available. Schools are there in and around the university that you can make yourself available for on a pro bono basis. The more you are in the field, the better you refine your skill and can apply all that great theory that you get from the program at the UFS.
Amazing. So keep yourself available and keep showing up. So my next question to you now, Bongani, is no job is just good. And I guess in your industry, I could say you win some and you lose some. So what would you say is the hard or would be the mundane part of being a strength and conditioning coach?
The losing and not getting a result is definitely up there. It is gut-wrenching to not get a result when you have worked and pursued every avenue in making your athletes better, in strategizing, as I mentioned, with your management and your coaching staff, building up to a game that you've analyzed and you know the weak points of the other team, etc. But sport is exactly that. There's no result that's guaranteed. So it's quite gut-wrenching in the moment. But then post that, it's about reflection and trying to refine yourself again and getting up again. So it's almost that concept of getting up once again and being able to, your body language needs to speak to what you are talking about. I mean, you can't just say it. You need to be able to show it, especially when you're a conditioning coach. Your athletes, they see you first post a loss on a Monday morning in the gym or on a Monday morning on the rugby field for fitness or whatever the case is. You need to not only sell it that there's another challenge coming up the weekend and you have hope and you have aspirations of winning again. You need to show it. So it goes back to showing up again. So yeah, the toughest part is definitely the losses. And where I am now, the losses are not only of one team, because I'm responsible as a strength and conditioning manager for basically overseeing the conditioning coaches of all our national teams. If one loses and five win, yeah, I still feel that same anguish for the team that didn't win on that weekend. So yeah, that's definitely the hardest part of my job.
Sure, that must be quite a hard pill to really swallow. So before we wrap up, can you please share with us one secret about being in your line of work, something that someone on the outside would never guess?
I don't know if no one would ever guess it, but a secret in my industry is to actually experience what you program for other people. So your athletes, you need to be somebody that has at some point in your life enjoyed being in the gym, enjoyed being having some sort of level of fitness. You don't have to be look trim or anything like that. I just mean you need to, fitness has to be something that you live and you enjoy yourself before you can enforce it and put it on other people. So that would be one of the secrets I found, that if you've done the programs, if you've been in a situation where you have to run certain fitness sessions, where you've been dejected as an athlete, it's easier to relay that message and to encourage the athlete that you are training yourself, that they can also make it through the sessions and it will yield these sort of results.
Definitely. I think that really makes sense. Now, we've reached the second favorite part of the conversation for me, which I always say, and I'm going to ask you 5 questions. So don't think too hard. The first thing that comes to your mind, you just say. So it's a this or that. Are you ready? Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Remote or on-site?
On-site.
Finish this for me. Every morning I
pray.
And the last one, a wise coach once said,
no matter what happens, Bongani, keep swinging.
Amazing. I love it. We've reached the end of our interview, Bongani, and thank you so, so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your valuable insight and your inspirational journey. I know for a fact it's going to reach at least one of our listeners, and they're going to really value and appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.